The title of my study today is What is Heaven Like? We read in the first verses of Ecclesiastes 3, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heaven, time to be born, and a time to die. For each person living on earth, until Jesus returns into the skies to collect the church, his chosen bride, we all must die at some point, but for a small number of folk, through varying tragic circumstances, have actually died, then for a short period of time have had a brief glimpse of heaven before being brought back to life. When a person first gives his or her life to Jesus and becomes a Christian, they have the longing to read God's Word, the Bible, to discover the history about God and the universe, but also to learn how to live and work for God while on earth. It is also the desire of each Christian to know what will happen to them when they die and leave this earth, unless, as the Bible says, Jesus will come back into the sky and take his own people, the church, back with him into heaven. The Apostle John writes about what Jesus said in John's chapter 14. I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. There are many passages in the Bible which give us an insight as to what we can enjoy when we leave our frail bodies. We can take great encouragement from what is often quoted at funerals, which Jesus said in the opening verses of John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. As D.L. Moody, a famous American evangelist, once said to his friends towards the end of his life, when you read in the newspaper that D.L. Moody is dead, do not believe it. I will be more alive than ever I was while on earth. There are many instances in the Bible where God gives glimpses of what heaven is like and what environment we can expect to live in when we meet the Lord. These scriptures often pack the understanding of heaven in neat, small packages. Yet, when we stop and take a closer look, when we talk to folk who have been to heaven a short while, the magnificence and wonderful, vast, unimaginable, spacious expanse of God's kingdom is so, so vast, we realize that our finite, human understanding can't fully appreciate or be able to express with our limited vocabulary what we will enjoy for eternity. There are one or two instances in the Bible where godly men have been privileged to have a glimpse of heaven, like Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:2. He heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. We read in 1 Corinthians 2:9, however, as it is written, what eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived are the things God has prepared for those who love him. It was back in the 1980s when I was invited to listen to a video recording of a young man, Ian McCormick, who, while scuba diving among the reefs off the coast of New Zealand, was stung by 5 box jellyfish, one of the most venomous creatures on earth. One sting can be fatal. Ian at that time was an atheist. And while travelling in an ambulance to the hospital, he was dying. And as he was drifting in and out of consciousness, he found himself in thick darkness. Then he heard a vision of his mother, who he could see praying for him. He could also hear her encouraging him to cry out to God to ask for forgiveness, praying God would hear him, accept his request to be sure he would go to heaven. In those few moments, Ian did cry out to God, and then Ian died. For the next 15 to 20 minutes, he had an out-of-body near-death experience. He found himself in thick darkness, being drawn up through a funnel towards a brilliant light. Once in that light, he realized he was in the presence of Jesus. Together, sensing an overwhelming sense of love and immersed in joy, Jesus spoke to him, telling him he had to return to earth. He had to go back and tell everyone what he had experienced and talk about Jesus' wonderful love for all of mankind and encourage everyone to open their hearts to receive him as their Lord and Saviour. They would immediately know in their hearts an assurance that they would live with him for eternity. Then in 2008, while Chris and I were on mission in Romania, we received an urgent prayer request from my niece to say my brother in hospital was having a heart attack. When we returned home, my brother told me that he, while having a stent fitted to one of his arteries, died and had to be resuscitated. He went on to tell me that in those moments he had died, he had an out-of-body or near-death experience. In those moments, he also experienced travelling through a tunnel and again experiencing the inexpressible love of God. These two testimonies stimulated me to dig deeper into the subject and read up on other experiences of both Christian and non-Christian folk who had died for a brief time, caused through illness, accident, or during an operation. Yet through the sovereign will and power of God, and through the advancement of modern medical science, have been brought back to life to testify of these extraordinary experiences. I have often asked myself, what is the significance of the tunnel that the person experiencing the near-death experience is going through? Let me make a suggestion as to what this tunnel is. Let us first look at some scriptures to give a background and a link up to what I think this tunnel may be. We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 2, "As for you, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you," that means before you became a Christian, "used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Also in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, the apostle writes, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of believers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Again, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." These scriptures show me that above the earth we live on and is covered by an invisible dark cloud of evil controlled by Satan and his forces. When the person having the near-death experience leaves this world, they pass through that dark evil cloud, Then leaving all the trappings and sufferings that began when Satan caused Adam and Eve to fall in the Garden of Eden. Then, as the Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 4, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There be no more death or mourning, crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So, having passed through the tunnel, they arrive in God's presence, free from pain and suffering, and enter into the immeasurable richness of God's love, which fills them with inexpressible joy and peace. There are many books available which testify to people that have experienced a near-death experience, but one particular book stands out which gives testimony to a number of varying incidents of folk having near-death experience. The book is titled Imagine Heaven by John Burke. I will, through the course of my talk, go through what folk I have met and a number of examples from John Burke's book, which gives testimony to the unimaginable, wonderful beauty and rich heavenly environment God's children will live in for eternity. For every person that has lived and are living on earth, when they pass away, there are only two places they will go when they die, heaven or hell. The evidence is conclusive, as Ian McCormack and other Christians and non-Christians witnessed. We read in Proverbs 14 verse 12 and Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Also Jesus said in Matthew 17:13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I beg the question, are you on the narrow way that leads to eternal life? The Apostle Paul tells us in Acts 2 verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We also read in Romans 10:9-13, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. In this study, through personal encounters and reading up on the many folk who have had a near-death experience, I would like to bring together and summarise by giving an overview of the most common factors that the near-death experience person witnessed. But most important to show that these experiences fall in line with the many Bible verses which tell us of those who already have had a face-to-face encounter with God and Jesus, to assure us and inspire us as to what an extraordinary and wonderful place heaven is. In order to believe and understand anything about the afterlife, we need to understand that every human being is made up of three distinctive parts: body, soul and spirit. When God first created man, we read in Genesis 2:7, God breathed and man became a living soul. The soul is the seat of the emotions, and the spirit is connected to the soul, which is a channel by which we are able to communicate with other spirits, be they good or bad. In the New Testament we read in John 4:24 and also in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For those who are not believers, the words in the book of Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sins, it shall die," which means the spirit and soul of man will be cut off from God for eternity. In the Bible, we read about a number of folk who had a heavenly experience while still living here on earth. In Acts 9, we read about Saul's conversion. Saul, who later became to be known as Paul. It reads, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogue to Damascus, so that if he found any that were being long to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?' When testifying some time later to King Agrippa of his experience, we read in Acts 23:13-14, "On one of those journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the high priest. About noon, King Agrippa, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.'" Saul did not need to be told he was in God's presence. First, there was the blinding bright light, brighter than the sun, causing everyone to fall to the ground. Then there was the voice of Jesus. Being in the presence of Jesus would be a fearful experience because, as we will discover, the power of his very presence would be overwhelming, let alone to hear him speak. Remember when the angels came to announce the birth of Jesus to the shepherds outside Bethlehem? We read in Luke 2:9, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." In the Old Testament, it talks about God's voice. In Daniel 10:5-6, we read, "I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burning bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude." John records in chapter 1 of Revelation, verse 15, "His voice was the sound of rushing water." So Paul, while on the journey to Damascus, experienced a bright light which blinded him. And when Jesus spoke, it changed him from being an executioner, martyring Christians, to becoming a courageous evangelist and warrior of Jesus Christ. Sometimes later, we read in 2 Corinthians 12:2 how Paul talks about a man who had an out-of-body experience. Many Christians believe it was Paul talking about himself. He was caught up into the third heaven, caught up into paradise, and heard inexpressible things, things that no one has been permitted to tell. The Apostle Paul, in a vision recorded in Revelation 1, verse 12 to 16, describes how he met Jesus in a vision, who showed him extraordinary things that would take place in a day to come. John was startled by a voice behind him, he records. "I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held 7 stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun, shining in all its brilliance. A number of folk having a near-death experience, as they are being drawn into God's holy, sinless presence, were for a short moment able to see the whole of their life's experience flashing across their mind. They had an overwhelming sense of guilt, seeing all the evil things they had done while on earth, but that short experience soon dissolved when the love of God engulfed their spirit and soul. When Isaiah found himself in God's presence, he said in Isaiah 6:5, "Woe is me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then immediately God healed Isaiah's guilt. For every Christian while living on the earth, they hope that before they die, they would experience meeting Jesus, returning to the sky and taking them up into heaven, rather than facing death. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 51-53, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, and the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead, that is the Christian, will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality." This tells me that as yet all the Christians that have gone before us as yet are not in heaven, as recorded by John and in Revelations 20, 13, 15. God is going to call all the dead, small and great, before him in judgment. Then he will create a new earth. This is what John saw. The sea gave up the dead that were in death, and Hades gave up the dead that were in it, and every person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life were thrown into the lake of fire. Let us also read in Luke 23, 39-45 for what transpired while Jesus was on the cross. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Jesus, saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Although there are different of opinion amongst Christians, the scriptures indicate that the godly go into paradise and the ungodly into Hades, until such times that Jesus comes back into the skies to collect his people. Paradise is a place awaiting in God's presence, and Hades is a place of separation and darkness, as illustrated by Jesus in Luke 16-19. We read, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abram's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abram far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, because I am in agony, this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And beside all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abram replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abram, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. This illustration by Jesus is a strong signal, a warning. We have to tell folk to heed those words, to seek God before it's too late. While we're here on earth, we have the opportunity to seek life, to call out to God for his forgiveness of our past sins, to acknowledge that he died a cruel crucifixion and died for all our sins, to ask him to become our Lord and Saviour, to live in us and direct us, to be our guide during our life here on earth, knowing that one day we will live with him in heaven for eternity. Jesus, in John 3:16-18, makes it very simple by saying, For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the God, one and only Son. The writer in Deuteronomy 4:29 says, But if from there you seek the Lord your God, you will find him, if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. You will know in your heart a change, an assurance. You will know God has transformed your heart. You become a born-again Christian. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:17, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Jesus will give you an assurance and fill your soul with his love and peace. You will know you have eternal life. At the moment a person's heart stops beating, the body dies, yet the soul and spirit live on. And it leaves the body and enters, either goes to paradise or Hades. The spirit and soul have sight and have memory of all that has happened in their life, as well as recorded in their human brain. In many cases, while doctors are busy trying to resuscitate the body from those who experience near-death experience through an accident or an illness, they sense and see themselves rising from their bed. They often can see themselves with their families and friends in the room. They see themselves lay on the bed in an operating theatre, and not always realizing straight away that they are the one in the bed. Then soon after, they sense themselves rising up out through the ceiling, approaching a tunnel. It has been my privilege on a number of occasions to be at the bedside of Christian members of my family or close friends, to be with them at the moment that they leave us, and to know that the loved one, as they rise leaving their earthly body, would have for a moment been looking down and seeing us with their family and friends there beside their bedside as they pass into God's presence. Then the spirit of the deceased person experiences travelling through a tunnel. For the non-believer, it can be a tunnel of thick darkness. But for the Christian that are travelling through the tunnel, they will find themselves approaching and being swathed in a bright light. At this point in the study, I want to highlight some very fundamental facts about what the near-death experience folk commonly experience, so that we can more fully understand and appreciate the experience and environment they find themselves in. Back in the Old Testament, while Moses was talking with God on the mountain, Moses made a very bold request. Moses wanted to know a little more about God's personality and the environment God lived in. So Moses said to God, "Show me your glory." In Exodus 33:23, this is what was said. Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have mercy on whom I will have compassion." Sorry, "I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory pass by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." We need to know why Moses would have died if he had entered God's divine presence and God had not shielded him. The environment that Satan lives is evil and is an area of thick darkness. Yet, at the other end of the spectrum, God is light and purity, like the light and heat of an electric welder and a plasma, so much more bright and powerful than the human eye and body would be destroyed. When Paul met Jesus on the Damascus Road, the light was brighter than the noonday sun. We also read in Habakkuk 3:4, "His splendor was like the sunrise, rays flashed from his hand, where his power was hidden." The intensity of God's light displays his power and purity, which gives energy to light up the heavenly place God dwells in. There are many instances in the Bible where God manifests his power and glory. For example, Moses' face shone when he returned down the mountain to the camp of the Israelites, having spent 40 days on the mountain in God's presence. Our human mortal bodies cannot stand the intense light of God's glory. The intensity of light encountered by those who experience near-death experience witness that the light of God's presence is many more times brighter than the human body can comprehend or withstand. For the person having a near-death experience, this intense bright light was not just something you could see, but it had an all-consuming aura, a powerful spiritual presence that was totally overwhelming, with an immeasurable baptism of love, which brought with it deep peace and overwhelming joy. God's love is like the sun beating on us as oxygen we breathe. It was an all-consuming, dazzling experience, life-giving and life-sustaining. The Apostle Paul sums up the wonderful character of Jesus in Colossians 1:15-17. "The Son is the image of God's, of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authority, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." When we leave our perishable mortal body, which is tarnished with sin, we suddenly find ourselves free from the kingdom of darkness. Maybe this could be what happened as many of the near-death experienced person have, travelling up the tunnel. Totally free of fear or pain, they then see and feel the presence of this bright light, bringing overwhelming love and peace and joy. When John records in 1 John 4:18, shows its true and fuller meaning. There is no fear in love, for love casts out fear. Many writers have experienced a dream or a vision and talk about what being in the presence of God and experiencing the intensity of light. For instance, in Ezekiel 1:26-20, we read of Ezekiel the prophet, and high above the throne was a figure like that of a man. I saw that from what appeared to be his waist up to looking like a up he looked like glowing metal as full of fire, and then from there down he looked like fire, and brilliant light surrounded him, like the appearance of a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, so was the radiance around him. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. Daniel describes being in God's presence in Daniel 7-9, we read, as I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days, he was referring to God himself, took his seat. His clothes was as white as snow, his hair and his head was white like wool. In the last book of the Revelation, chapter 1, 12-15, John records, I turned around to see the voice of speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw golden lampstands, and among the lampstand was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was like white wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like blazing bronze glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. Many near-death experienced folk have experienced the intense light and overwhelming love, knowing in their spirit it is Jesus, and because of the intensity of the light, often they are unable to see Jesus' face. The near-death experienced person will say that what they experienced while in God's presence was so much, much realer than here on earth. The present life on earth is only a dream compared with the reality of being in heaven. No one wants to return to earth. The contrast in experience is like us here on earth looking into a black and white television screen. But there in heaven, you find yourself in true reality with the magnitude of various colours and beauty. Everything is so, so much richer and so indescribable for the human mind to describe. In the King James Version of the Bible, the Apostle Paul says that while here on earth, we can only see things of heaven dimly, like looking through a glass darkly. Again, in 1 Corinthians 13:12, Paul writes, for now we only see only reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. So far, we have discovered the type of journey one makes in our way to heaven. But what do we see and experience when we arrive in heaven? We will discover more in part 2 of this study.